Welcome to Just Between Us, a podcast powered by the Corey Johnson Program for Post-Traumatic Healing in Boston.
Every week, we're going to focus on ways to heal from the devastating impact of collective trauma on our world.
My name is Reverend Liz Walker.
My name is Judell Cummins. Our guest today is Emmy Award-winning dancer, recording artist, and actor Wyatt Jackson. Wyatt is world renowned for his amazing ability to take current events and put them into artistic expression.
Wyatt could work anywhere. As a matter of fact, he's worked everywhere, but he has chosen to serve Roxbury because of his love for this community. Wyatt is an artist in residence for the Can We Talk community gatherings of the Corey Johnson Program. It's where he uses his gifts to help our community heal. So we are honored to have you here with us today, Wyatt. And our first question, getting right to this, is one of the biggest lessons we've learned in our program, is how really difficult it is for Black men to confront mental health challenges, to confront emotion. So from your perspective, what is that about?
Well, I think it has to do with conversation that men have, men in particular, about being too sensitive, too emotional, weak. If I show my more emotional side, then I'm perceived as weak. I mean, we live in America where it's all about the brave. It's all about conquering and being, you know, assertive in the spaces that you're in. But for men of color in particular, we have to deal with getting in a lot of places where white men in particular, look historical, where they would call us boy. And treat us like boys and traumatize us with violence, right? So throughout history, from what I understand, men had to find secret places, Black men in particular, to talk things through. And the barbershop turned out to be one of the places where we would have those conversations, where we would really go there. When you talk to men who are over 50, they can tell you, oh yeah, we would go into our conversation about what's going on in the world in the barbershop. We couldn't do it anywhere else. We couldn't do it at church. We couldn't do it in other public places. We had to go into the places where only we would.
So let me just follow up, because I know we want to move forward, but why the barbershop? What was it about the barbershop itself? And I've seen the movies, right? and I love those movies, but
yes.
What is it about that kind of environment, do you think?
Well, after World War I, Black men, that's the only work that they could get in inner city spaces, Boston, Philadelphia in particular, Washington, D.C., Chicago. And this was like a place to say, okay, come get your hair cut and let's just talk about what's going on, right? I remember when I was coming up in the 70s on Humboldt Ave, you had one barbershop. And I remember as a young kid listening to all these conversations where people were talking about Nixon and they were talking about what was going on in the South and talking about racism. And then the men would say stuff like, well, man, as long as they don't come this way, or look, man, I'm holding down what I have to hold down. And that meant a lot to hear that. And then you got your hair cut as you're listening to this.
Wow.
And so you talk about the men and you talk about barbershop. Recently, and even more so, I think maybe a few years now, we've heard celebrities such as like Kanye West come out and talk about mental health, and his mental health specifically. So how important do you think it is for, you know, prominent figures to come out and begin to have that, you know, conversation? How helpful do you think that is to the conversation on Black men and mental health?
So all according to what platform you put things out on, I would say it needs to be, that conversation needs to be done with celebrities in spaces like theaters, where you invite ticketed people free. You come and I'm going to tell you my story. As opposed to going on the news and saying, yo, you know I have a mental health issue, because some people can take that and weaponize it against you. But when you have your people or people, period, who want to just come and who are interested in listening to your story, a theater, an outdoor space where it's intimate is much more meaningful. So yeah, it's great. I think Kanye did a wonderful thing, and I would like to see more celebrities do that in more intimate spaces. Mm.
Safe spaces, would safe. I would think about yes. that when you say intimate spaces.
There you go.
Or even the barbershop. That there probably was a safe right. space for
that's right, that's
for,
right.
And still is for men. Part of this, to me, Wyatt, is about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your own issues with vulnerability. I mean, I've seen you do amazing artistic work, and you are vulnerable, but how, did you just, were you born that way, or did you have to get there? Because it takes a lot to be open like that.
Yeah, yeah. I had a very toxic view of manhood when I was a kid. We were taking on some of the ideas of society. Hanging out all hours of the night, going down to Dudley Station, back then it was called Dudley, now Nubian Square, and just hanging out and seeing what the thing was. It wasn't until I got into my 20s and started hanging around people who were responsible, and they would say, look, go home after work. Get home. And I'm like, home? I'm sure I'm going to stay out until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then when I started seeing people around me getting in trouble and not doing well, and then when I lost my mom from, you know, cancer, I felt like I was like all alone. So I remember reaching out to people, and I reached out to counselors at a young age. I just thought it was normal to seek help. I don't know where that came from. I still kind of pinch myself, like, did I really do that? So, and then when I lost my dad, I went back and called another therapist, like, we got to talk this thing through, right? And so I think it just came out of knowing that if you don't know, you got to go to someone who knows.
Mm.
And now the biggest thing that men struggle with is being able to say, if they're asked a question that they don't know, being able to say, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
And that took a lot for me to get there. And that realization takes people to show you who you are.
Right.
You need them to be your mirror.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. And you mentioned very quickly your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were talking about once your dad died, then you reached out again for help. Well, I had a conversation with my father just a few days ago, and he said one of the reasons a lot of men are hesitant, in his opinion, to reach out to, you know, for professional help is to basically, you know, when they do that, they're admitting that they're not in control. I do have a question about your relationship with your dad. How
mm-hmm.
how was that relationship and mm-hmm. how did that impact your mental health?
Wow. So Frank Jackson moved to Boston, Massachusetts in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, Wyatt Banks, moved here in the 20s. And they both moved here for the same thing. They heard there was opportunity in Boston. My father he worked with the FBI for a while. He worked with the Army.
Wow.
So when he came here very informed. Whenever racism would pop its ugly head up, especially in 1974, they never said to us, you know, you gotta be careful. They told us, I remember my dad saying this, they have a problem.
Hmm.
They're not well. So if you get into a confrontation with them, understand that they're not well, and you are. And, you know, meet and part with them graciously is what he would say. And that's how he was in every context. We had a very strong relationship because he didn't hold any punches with me. He let me know what was really going on.
So he admitted, to Judell's point, he was willing to admit that sometimes he wasn't in control at home, at least around the family
and
that safe space.
Especially in Boston at that time.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on.
You have been in a position just like Judell and I to witness people who are really struggling in our trauma work and people who don't take care of themselves. This has really impacted me a great deal. How do you take care of yourself now? Your mental, like especially coming through this last year. What did you do? What was your self-care?
Ooh, boy, yeah. Well, first of all, prior to the pandemic, The first person that I heard use the term self-care is a brother who is a part of the Corey Johnson program, Doug Lomax.
Right.
So I had never heard that term before, but I always knew of taking care of myself, right? But never heard of self-care as a thing, right?
Right.
So prior to the pandemic, I would go to the symphony every Friday. I have a membership. And I would sit front row, whatever the concert was, I would just sit there by myself. My family knew this is my time. And I would listen to classical every Friday. Mm. Keith Lockhart, who's a friend of mine, and the conductors, they would see me and I would just do that thing. But it was all about having my quiet time with classical. Also with jazz. Now, I am a dancer, so I will dance by myself in a space. Mm. I will rent a studio for hours and just dance until I almost want to just drop, right? Get in the car and I feel like I've just had a cleansing, right? So through the arts, art therapy is part of it.
Right.
And that's what got me through the pandemic.
So just really quickly, mm-hmm. what are some things, if anything, what did you have to unlearn in order to improve your mental health?
Very good question. I thought about some things prior to this interview. One of the key pieces that I had to learn is a big one, and I hope that your listeners, you have a very wonderful audience, so I hope they take this and put this in their pocket. Adjust your expectations of people almost down to zero, because people are going to always disappoint you. Call up a friend, you think they're going to be bubbly, and one day they're not. And people sometimes take that personal, right? But look, we're all dealing with life, so drop your expectations down to zero. That's the first one that I had to do, and I got that from one of the wise people in my life, Ray Hammond, said, look, just drop your expectations down to zero. Then the other one is the one that I said earlier, has to do with knowing that you don't know. Really sitting with that and knowing that it's okay to not know. I had in graduate school, I had this class, science class, where the professor said, okay, if you believe in God, let's go with that. Look, we're not even the big thing here in this universe. We're not the center of anything. Because our solar system is not even the center of our galaxy. Our galaxy is not the solar system, not the center of our universe, and our universe is not the center of our cluster of universes that we're a part of. It's all interdependent. Everything's interdependent. And that's what I'm sitting with now. I think once we get away from thinking how important we think we are, then we'll be able to coexist with people better.
I think to Wyatt's point, and I, just to sum that up, a lot of my life has been trying to be bigger than I was, trying to be more than mm-hmm. I am, always mm-hmm. kind of striving for some kind of perfection thing, which is impossible.
Right.
You're not perfect.
Yeah. Right.
And so I had to unlearn that.
Yep.
And learn that whatever I am is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God, and that is enough.
Reverend Liz, that's hard. How to...
Well, it's that self-esteem issue, and you have to work on it. And it takes time. It's like Wyatt said. Mm-hmm. It really does take time, but you can.
Yep.
You are enough. You're going to make a mistake. You can make two or three a day.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep trying and know that. But Wyatt, you have given us such amazing...
Yes.
wisdom today.
Thank
and
you, Wyatt.
Not only does he dance and move magically, but he has an incredible mind. We thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And hope
thank
that you'll come back sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep listening to the podcast because I think this is amazing.
Oh, well, we're trying and we're going to work on
yes,
it.
We are.
Make mistakes, keep going. We're enough.
Yes.
And that we is it that. For this week's Just Between Us. We hope you'll continue to join us in our weekly Zoom conversations called Can We Talk? We hope you'll come back here to Just Between Us when we give you another podcast. If you want to learn about all that we do in the Corey Johnson Program, visit our website at rpcsocialimpactctr.com. rpcctr.org. That's rpcsocialimpactctr.org. Again, we thank Wyatt Jackson, and we hope you guys have a great day. Be blessed.